Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Text this morning is the gospel lesson, which has been read. And the title for our meditation this morning is this: Jesus Knows What to Do with the Lost. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Dearly beloved in the Lord, family is a gift from God. That's what we've discovered, maybe rediscovered. So we focused on this last month. Family is God's good gift that was created in paradise before the fall into sin. Family is the institution where God reflects himself and his creative love. It's a gift and it's good. And that's why this side of eternity, where sin is a present reality, good gifts have struggles. There are those for whom family and the thought of new life brings hope, but then leads to heartache. The promise of life leads to pain. Happens in a variety of ways, but today I would like to draw your attention to a reality that we don't think about much unless we're in it. And that is when a mother, father, a family suffer because of a miscarriage or a stillbirth. Now, that's not a pain that everyone has experienced. And yet we know this, that as the body of Christ, when one person hurts, we all hurt. And when one person celebrates, we all celebrate. And in the body of Christ, as someone who is struggling with the pain of child loss, that Christian is looking to the same person that you and I are looking towards. We have a shared hope, a sure and certain hope. We should all pay attention to this issue because we all share in the promises of Jesus. I wanted to talk about this issue because women and families suffer and we don't even know it. One in 160 pregnancies end in stillbirth. About 15 out of 100 pregnancies end in miscarriage. We were invited to bring flowers in remembrance of the children that we've lost, which goes to show that the statistic is a reality for here in our congregation as we see flowers in the vase. I mean, just think about this. At least 1 in 10 mothers had joyful news that turned into sorrow. At least 1 in 10 mothers st- started to bond with their children in their womb, and that bond was seemingly broken as it just began. At least 1 in 10 mothers had begun to hope and to dream and to think about their child, and then the dream vanished, and seemingly vanished alone. I had been planning on preaching on this subject for quite a while now, and just this last week, some friends from Ravenna suffered a stillborn pregnancy and laid that child to rest last week. In our own congregation, our own sister in Christ, J.J. Morgan, several months ago, suffered a miscarriage. I didn't know about it till significantly later. Some of you maybe know, some of you maybe don't, but that pain, that heartache is in our family of faith here at Peace. There is suffering. We as the church are called to do something about suffering. And sadly, for various reasons, mothers and fathers and families often struggle this pain alone. Of course, this reality, this pain of pregnancy loss, brings it with it many questions, many struggles. Did I do something wrong? Is my body broken? Did I upset God? What happens to my child? Questions, struggles. Seemingly lost, looking for some sort of stasis, something to hold on to, and often not finding anything. In fact, I think it's interesting that when our loved ones die, and especially in the case of pregnancy loss, what do we say? That child was lost. Just our language has that sense of despair, being cut off. Uncertain. There is seemingly so much uncertainty. And then, too many times, well-meaning Christians say things not knowing what it means. Saying things like, well, it's for the best. Really? It's for the best that my child is no longer here. God's in control. Well, I know God's in control. That's particularly why I'm struggling right now. This is just nature's way of dealing with a pregnancy that wasn't viable. Again, for the best. Because see, what happens is we see someone suffering. We see someone with a cross. That they're bearing a cross. And we feel compelled to somehow lessen it or to answer for God or to take away that cross. But here's the thing about crosses. Crosses hurt. One day, if our Lord tarries, we each will take our last breath. Because even some crosses kill. And so platitudes and cliches, that we offer trying to help actually only hurt, as someone's trying to bear their cross, to give them something that doesn't help, to add something else, well, it only adds something else they have to deal with. And those platitudes, those cliches, they can't find what was lost. But we know that there is someone who can find the lost. We know of someone whose job, whose vocation was to come and to seek and to save the lost. And so Jesus says it's like this. There's a shepherd, he's got 100 sheep, one of them goes missing. He doesn't say, well, you know, 99 is still a pretty good return. I think I'm going to leave it as is. He leaves the 99 and he goes and searches the highways and the byways and the dangerous places, and he goes and he finds that sheep and brings it back rejoicing. Our Lord says it's like a woman. She's got 10 coins, but she loses one. So what does she do? She tears that house apart and she puts it back together again until she finds that coin. This is what Christ has come to do, to seek and to save the lost. And so here's what we need to know. Our children who've died in pregnancy have died for the same reason that we will all die if our Lord tarries. And that is because we have all been born and conceived in sin. We were all lost. And Jesus has come for the lost. Jesus came for you. Jesus has come for me. And Jesus has come for our little ones, even in the womb. For some reason, I have heard many times, actually, the concern that a child who dies in the womb somehow is outside of God's grace. I know part of the reason for us Lutherans, because we know the power and the promise of baptism, we so stridently uphold baptism, which we should uphold baptism, but to the extent where we think, well, but the child wasn't baptized, therefore falls outside of God's grace. And so people will actually imagine that there is a circumstance that extends beyond God's power and reach. I'm here today to tell you, there is no place in heaven or on earth or under the earth. There exists no place that extends beyond God's reach, especially not in the womb. You know how I know? The Bible tells me so. Psalm 22, verse 10. King David, inspired by the Holy Spirit, writes these words, "On you, Lord, was I cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb, you have been my God." Well, now maybe David just had a nice idea, but just kind of put that in there, didn't really know what he was talking about. Psalm 71, verse 6, "Upon you I have leaned from before my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb." David's writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he says, "Upon you I have leaned from before my birth." Sure sounds like David said, even in the womb, he had to rely on God. Sure sounds like that David understands that in the womb, He has no other help, no other refuge, no other trust than the one true God. See, the womb does not extend beyond God's power to save and to bring light. Let's take this further. Let's get real theological. You know how we know that God has control even over the womb? Because God entered into the womb of the Virgin Mary and was made man. For 9 months, the womb was the abode of the Son of God. Now we know that God cares for all life starting at conception. Now we know that God has supreme power over the womb. Now we know that he has shown that his purpose is only to bring life and light, and it cannot be any different for all Christian mothers. See, Jesus knows what to do with the lost. Let's put it in the words of Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell. There ain't no mountain high enough. There ain't no valley low enough. There ain't no river wide enough that can keep God from getting to you and your children. Our little ones are not lost. They're not lost. And neither are they alone. Too often, someone who suffers a pregnancy loss does suffer alone. It seems like no one else knows. It seems like no one else cares. It seems like that child is set apart, is alone. But it's just not true. What Christ has done on the cross is too powerful. It's too great. It changes everything. We all are united. And so I've got a message, especially for you mothers who've lost children. I want you to know this. Your child is not alone. We all share in your child's death because we share in your child's flesh that was given from our first parents. We share in your child's sin because one common sin infects us all. And that's why as your child has fallen, we all have fallen. But greater still, we have all shared in your children's salvation. We have all been lifted to heights greater than we had before, greater than the height from whence we had fallen, because God has forever taken human flesh unto himself, and he has lifted up that flesh. And this is why I want to preach about this to everyone, even if you haven't suffered this way. The hope and the promise that is given even to the youngest of us, it can't help but lift us all up. It can't help but draw us to this reality that we are not alone, that what Christ has done on the cross and his glorious resurrection, it is literally a whole new world. Already now, those who were set apart have been brought into a family. Those who are alone have been brought into a family. Jesus knows what to do with the lost. I want to tell you a story that was shared with me and many others by my mom's cousin. My mom's cousin suffered a stillborn pregnancy. And she talks about the fact that after they laid their child to rest in the grave, she was overwhelmed daily, nightly, with this sense that her little child was cold. She was beside herself. She wanted desperately to bring a blanket or to warm up her child in the tomb. Until one evening, she had a dream. And in that dream, she saw her grandmother, my great-grandmother, holding her child in a blanket. From that time on, she never worried again. She was given this image that her child is not alone, is not forgotten. Her child, by the grace of God, is part of a family, part of her family. God cares and he sees. And her child has a great-grandmother. Her child has brothers and a sister, parents, cousins, nephews, and that is the case for all of our children. Today, we remember those who were lost. Today, we say to those who have lost children and felt like they were alone, you're not alone. Today, we rejoice in this fact that there is no such thing as alone. God has made us a part of his family. Now we know that anyone who is lost is brought back by the blood of Jesus. So now we have one more thing to look forward to. When Christ returns in glory, there's one more benefit. We have a happy reunion that's coming with those that are lost to us but found by Christ. Thank God we have a family. Thank God we are part of God's family. Thank God that our pain has a promise, and it's sure, and it's certain, and it cannot be undone. Christ knows what to do with the lost. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.